Welcome, everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You're listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on Transcendental Tuesdays here on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way we perceive the world, the way we listen to the world, the way we see the world, because, you know, indeed, the world really is a product of our thinking and our perception. You know, when we look out there, you know, we're just projecting what is kind of already in our heads. And not kind of, I think we really are projecting what's already in our heads. So we might as well take control of what's in our heads. So this is January 14th, 2025. And I have a guest today, which I'm delighted about. It's Mo, who is a routine. I shouldn't say routine. He's never routine. But he is a regular guest on this show on the second Tuesday of the month. And of course, Mo is a Vedic astrologer. He's a tarot master and a Renaissance man. He knows a little bit about a lot of stuff. And many of you already know him from 1-2 Listen, 1-2 Academy, 1-2 Radio. I hope you're listening to Mo Paisley Penny Arcade. That's quite the mouthful, actually. And that's on Wednesday afternoons. You'll also find him often on YouTube. He's the author of multiple tarot decks, etc. He's always into something. He's an artist. He's like I said, a little bit of a lot of different things. So he's going to join me in just a few minutes. I am going to quickly go through just a couple of highlights for what I call the cosmic dance for this week, for the week of January 13th. Now, once again, I hope you're reading Mark's Power Peak, because Mo writes an article in the Power Peak every week, and so do I, and mine is always on the astrology, telling you what's going on that week. So, you know, that's where you get all the details, and I really do hope that you're reading that and at least checking into it if that's something that you're interested in. So for this week, there's really two astrological events that I think are worth noting. The first one, it's hard to miss. It was that full moon at 24 Cancer yesterday afternoon. And if you're listening to this in the archives, that was Monday, January 13th. Now, I really do think this was an extraordinary full moon. And here again, we have full moons every, 29 and a half days. But the reason I thought this one was so interesting or really captured my attention is because it really did pull in so many of the things that are going on in 2025. Specifically, remember that we started this year with Mars retrograde. And that's unusual because Mars only retrogrades every 2 years or so. So it's not that often that we actually start a year with Mars, who is the planet of action, you know, the planet of motivation and inspiration, moving retrograde. Well, he's in Cancer right now. So here you have the sun and the moon in a full moon configuration with the moon right there with Mars. In fact, the moon made a perfect conjunction, meaning in exactly the same astrological location as Mars on Monday, just right around the time of the full moon. Now, the sun actually won't be in the perfect opposition, which is what it's going to do, until Wednesday. And that's tomorrow, and that's, I think it's in the evening. But that also brings me to an idea that I think is interesting, is everything going on around this full moon actually is kind of unfolding like waves throughout this week. And I think actually that's kind of an omen for unfolding throughout the year as well, at least maybe for a few months. So there we have the sun and the moon connecting with retrograding Mars. Then both of the luminaries also were connecting with Uranus, the planet of individuality, and Neptune, which I consider the most spiritual and intuitive of all the planets. It connected with both of them. And once again, why is that so important? Because those are the two planets that don't change signs very often. Uranus does it about every 8 years, Neptune about every 14. Both of them are changing signs in 2025. And here's the first full moon of the year connecting with both of these planets. So see, to me, that was just, it's kind of like kismet, you know, and I will be interested to see how all of that unfolds. But, and there again, the sun isn't going to make its perfect connection to Neptune until Friday, which is January 17th. So it just continues to unfold throughout the week. But it's just interesting. So just take note You know, just pay attention. You don't have to struggle. You don't have to do anything really difficult or hard. Just pay attention. But before we get Mo on the show, who is my guest, I do want to point out that the sun is moving into Aquarius this week. That is going to happen next Sunday, which is the 19th. And that's a big deal, you know, having the sun move into Aquarius, because once again, Pluto moved into Aquarius in November, and or actually finally in December, and it's a big deal. So see, we just have all these interesting cosmic factors kind of coming together this week and beyond. And so we're going to talk a whole lot more about the sun in Aquarius next week on this show. We will do a deep dive. But meanwhile, let's get Mo on the show, because I don't want to shortchange Mo. So Mo, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. Well, it's so good to have you on the show today. And I was thinking about multiple things, obviously, that we could talk about. But I always like to ask you, I mean, I always know there are things that are coming up for you and things that you want to talk about. So I would offer you that. And then I do have a few questions. We can always get to those. But one thing I wanted to mention is that last year you did a prediction show for 2024. Yep. And I had gone back and reviewed some of the things, but then one thing I will never forget that I just think turned out to be so true is that you said, become very familiar with the mute button on your remote. And I thought, oh my God, if that was not so perfect, it was absolutely perfect. So I just want to give kudos to you for that, because we certainly had some chaotic times in 2024. And that was just the perfect analogy, not only on a personal level, but communal level and everything. Just like, okay, just turn it off. Tune it down, tune it out. And so I would start there, like I said, with kudos, but also, I don't know if you did a prediction show this year, or, you know, it seems like people were really low key this year, just like, once again, just coming into this year, very much like the hermit, which is the archetype, I believe, for this year. And just like, you know, just staying really low key. But if you have predictions for this year, or any, you know, pithy little thing that you want to put out there, please go ahead and say that.
I really did not make any predictions for this year. I, you know, I've got them, but I don't think, I mean, I really, wow, making predictions for this year. It has started out, First of all, I mean, all you can say is keep your head down, you know. Mm-hmm. The poor people in Los Angeles County and surrounding areas, who could have predicted that, you know? And of course, people are always willing to say, I did, you know, but yeah. Wow, what a horrible start to the year. Elemental forces are, you know, the winds are blowing, and it's worse now. And it's going to be, I mean, that's pretty rough stuff. And what bothers me about it is that people are blaming each other. And I don't like this new trend, you know. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at things like that and you say, how have we gotten to a place in time where instead of people rolling up their sleeves and just saying, we've got to help each other, there's finger pointing going on, you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Instead of people saying, oh, my God, this is one of the most horrible things that can happen. So what my prediction is, people are pointing fingers and saying they did this and this other group did that, and trying to blame people for what's going on without any real solutions coming from it. Yeah. I predict that it's going to be a time to, you know, probably not only the mute button, but maybe throw your remote away, you know, unless you can really handle this stuff and handle it well, because there's so much vitriol flying around that, you know, and I love history and I love this sort of political science stuff. So I'm going to watch it and enjoy the heck out of it. It annoys me, make no mistake. And and I am really upset by what's happening. And to all of you in the area, and we know several people out there, you know. So to all of you.
I have some family there, some close family.
Yeah.
We all do. I mean, like you said, we all have somebody, whether it's family or friends or whatever.
Yeah. And so to all of you out there, for goodness sake, from the bottom of my heart and our hearts, I mean, it is breaking. It's breaking us that you have to go through this. And this emphasis on celebrity homes, I mean, celebrities are human beings, too. And so that, of course, is terrible. But my God, the carnage.
Yeah.
It's everybody's homes. It's everybody's families. And yes, people have lived in their homes for 60 years or four generations of homes. And you say, oh, this is horrific. But so when we see that sort of thing, this is, of course, in my opinion, due to climate change. And there's still people who deny that. So I think we've reached a point in our history where we need to wake up.
Mm-hmm.
So if anything, this is a year of awakening, you know, and I wrote in the Power Peak this week about the I Ching, what I did on the show.
Yeah. You know what? In fact, I wanted to mention that, too. That was a really good article.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
so, you. Yeah, I enjoyed
I sure
that.
Like you, C.A. Have I ever told you that?
You Mo, but I mean, truly, like I thought, oh, I should write him and tell him how much I enjoyed that article. And obviously I didn't, I forgot, but it was a great article. So once again,
such
everybody,
chance,
I hope you
know.
To Mark's Power Peak.
Yeah, I took a chance because, you know, you cast the coins, you're not sure what you're going to get.
Right.
And it was genuine. I really did cast the coins and they came out with this. Really, very. I liked it. It was a great cast, but it was, pushing upward, which I thought was a really good one. And it's about growth. It's about, you know, this is a year for growing, for pushing upward, and doing our thing, and trying not to be super influenced by. In other words, no matter what's going on around us, we need to grow within that arena.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, all right, well, that kind of said to me, keep your head down and keep pushing, you know.
Yeah.
And modesty was the last one. But it also says that things are going to be what they're going to be. But I think for me, it's really one of those things, the prediction I would make is that it's going to be a very, very interesting year.
Mm-hmm.
And that we need to be aware. That's all. And I'm not saying, oh, be careful, be, you know, scared. There's no fear involved. As a matter of fact, the I Ching says no fear, you know, nothing to fear. Don't fear anything. It's about the awareness of the time. And I think we can already see that there's going to be some very strange things happening. All you have to do is look around and,
Well, strange to us anyway. Strange to us.
Strange to us.
Right.
Have you ever known anyone who has juggled, what are they called? Chainsaws?
Have you ever no.
Yeah. I've known a lot of entertainers. And I knew a guy who made up his mind he was going to juggle chainsaws. And I said, are you really sure you want to do this? And he said, oh, yeah, I'm really sure. And he was kind of an incompetent guy anyway. And I said, really, are you absolutely? He said, oh, yeah, don't, you know. But he wasn't that good a juggler. And
chainsaws are heavy.
They're heavy. But it's a real thing that people do. But
I know. I have heard of it.
Oh, yeah. And they what they do is they put a handle, a wooden handle on the chainsaws. And so, but you've got to be a really good juggler. And they're gas chainsaws. And they start them up and they juggle them. And it's a terrifying thing. And I knew this guy. And to add to the pain, I liked him, you know. But I knew that his skills were not, you know, up to the task.
Up to that level, and, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. And, oh, wow. And so I found myself really sweating it out as he was getting close to his first performance, because he was kind of incompetent when it came to juggling anyway. And he had made his mind up that he was going to juggle these chainsaws. And I will just say that his first performance did not go well.
And
he didn't hurt anybody, including himself, but he almost really caused a disaster. And I talked him out of doing it again, you know, as he hurled a chainsaw into the audience that was the end of that. But that's what I'm reminded of this year, that it could be that kind of year, you know. It reminds me of my friend who juggled chainsaws and shouldn't have. So that's the image I get. You're thinking, I just don't think that there's the competence level for this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just you just don't necessarily want to see this. And so that's kind of what I'm feeling. It's like, you know, really, should we be doing? So that's, how do you feel?
Well, you know, in a couple of different ways. And actually, I want to go back just quickly and make a note to people that have never done I Ching or you're not familiar with it. It's a situation where you know, you can do it multiple ways, but you come up with a hexagram, which is what he was saying, that pushing up, pushing forward. But in certain situations, based on how it comes up, it says it's changing. They call them changing lines. So when you said it was moving to modesty, it says that this is a year of change, a year of transition. We're moving from one thing to the next. And I think that's an important concept here. And that, to me, like I said, I keep getting the image of a bridge for 2025, that this is not a destination. Now, and in some ways, people could go, oh, well, isn't that always the truth? But you know what? Like I said, visually, that's what I keep seeing, is a bridge. 2025 is a bridge that we are crossing. It's not a destination. Right. This is a time of great change. It's a time of great transition. And so, yeah, keep your eyes open. Keep moving. Take in everything that you can. But know that this is not the destination. This is not where we're going to end up. But what's happening this year is very important to understand. The other thing, I guess, that I'm feeling, and here again, you know this because we've done this on my show, I don't know how many years. You know, I'd like to take the numerology for the year, which is a 9, and apply it to the tarot. And when you do that, you come up with a hermit. And right. So to me, that really does always become what I call a touchstone. You know, like I'm continually going back to that particular energy all through the year, especially if I start getting confused or I start getting overwhelmed. I just go, okay, what is the archetype? What is the general energy for the year? And that is very, very helpful to me. But I find it interesting, but also very welcoming, that this year is the hermit. Because I see that as the opportunity to do exactly what you were saying in 2024. Right. Turn down the volume. If you want to know what's going on, then you're going to need to pull away from all of the noise in order to do that. And I think, you know, part of it, though, was I don't think it's a situation where we can all go, okay, I'm going to go off on a retreat for the year. You know, and in fact, you probably heard this, but there is a cruise line who is offering a 4-year cruise.
Right.
And, you know, and of course, you don't have to sign up for all 4 years. But I mean, that was the idea. Let's just get away from this. Let's just get away from all of this. You can sign up for a 4-year cruise and go to like 120 different ports during that time. And I think, yes, that's one way you can do it, is the hermit. But the other way is, you know, for a lot of us, we can't just totally escape our lives. You know, we can't just constantly be on retreat or go to the top of the mountain or close down the house and go to Walden Pond, but we can adapt or adopt that kind of posture in our everyday life and just say, you know what? I don't have to do it all. I don't have to listen to it all. What are the ways that I can simplify? So that's how I'm really approaching 2025 and just continually looking at what are all the different things in my life that make it feel complex or too overwhelming? And what of those can I just pull away from? You know, can I just, just, you know, okay, we don't have to have six kind of apples in the fridge or whatever it is, you know, because, and I know that sounds funny, but I am that kind of, oh, let's try this one. Let's try this one. Let's try this one.
Oh, no, I'm the same way. Yeah.
And, you know, and then I kind of go, yeah, that's okay if it's easy, but, you know, why not just like, you know, everything doesn't have to be such variety. Everything doesn't have to be such multiplicity. Although, quite honestly, true stories. You know, I don't know if you look at progressions in Vedic astrology, but in Western astrology, we look at where the planets have moved over the course of time. And it's a different way of looking at where a person is in their life. Well, I was born a Pisces, but my progress sun is in Gemini. Mm-hmm. And just this week, my progress Mercury moved into Gemini. So now for me, four planets are in Gemini. And see, they could be there for the rest of my life. So, you know, that may be why the hermit or that kind of energy of simplicity and dialing it back feels comfortable or feels like what I need, because it feels to me like there's too much variety. There's too much input. I just need to be able to hear what's important. So that's my main message, I think, for 2025 is not only are we going to go through incredible change, but that in the midst of that change, we can still simplify and not become overwhelmed. We don't have to be like the bouncing ball that responds to every single thing that happens.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, the hermit was Saint Anthony. He was the prototype for the hermit in the tarot deck.
Okay, well, tell us about that.
Well, Saint Anthony, as you know, he wasn't martyred in the usual way. They didn't kill him, you know, he just left. Oh. And said, I'm sick and tired of all this. And as most hermits do, the sixth line in Tarot is the sage, and he leaves. He's done his job. He's done his work. He's given about as much as he can give, and he just walks away from society. That's basically what it's about. And that's that. Basically what I found on the I Ching on the show Wednesday, I cast that and it said growth. It's about pushing upward. It's not ignoring society, but it's saying you do your own thing regardless of what else is going on around you. You do your thing, and it basically says that it's basically a shoot of bamboo within the ground that forms itself within the earth. It grows regardless. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it forms itself within the earth. It just grows. And nothing can stop it. I was in the mountains once when I was a young man, and when I could hike and climb on boulders and things like that. And it's funny how you don't appreciate what you can do when you can do it.
Yeah.
But
I
saw a daisy, a mountain daisy that had pushed itself through a boulder. You know, this tiny little flower. And I was so amazed by that. I took a picture of it. And boy, I wish I had that photograph now. I would put it on my wall the size of a poster, you know, movie poster, because it was so gorgeous. It was this tiny little blue or purple flower. I don't remember now, with a yellow center. And a mountain boulder. And it had like cracked the boulder. And it just blew my mind, as we used to say back then. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, this is persistence of life. This is an amazing thing to see. And that's what I got from that I Ching casting, is that that's what we have to do. In the midst of all this nonsense and falderall, whatever that is, we have to follow our paths. That's very important. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what the hermit's about. The hermit in the Crowley deck is following a green egg. It's an Orphic egg. And or an Ophic egg, it depends on how you look at it, with the serpent around it, and it's green.
Ooh.
And yeah.
And, I'm only saying that because, you know, this year is a Chinese snake.
Yes.
On the Chinese New Year. And, you know, snakes are, I don't know, it's one of the animals I have a hard time identifying with, even though I was born in the year of the snake.
So. Yeah, I'm, you know, I mean, all snake. God's creatures, right?
Yes, great, yes, small, they are. They are.
But.
But do I have to be around them?
I stood shirtless with an albino python, reticulated python, wrapped around me.
And, oh, my God.
Yeah, this is for a friend of mine who's a magician. He was doing a presentation. And this thing, I was supposed to be some sort of, I don't know what he had in mind. It was ridiculous. But this was when I was a much younger man. And this thing was, I'm holding this thing. And they're incredibly strong, especially these huge, these pythons. It was an albino, you know, mm-hmm. So you've seen them. They're mm-hmm. kind of yellow. And this thing, I'll tell this story. If it's a little off topic, but it's a good story. So this was a murder mystery thing, and this was the big, he's a magician, so it was real dramatic. And I was thinking, why am I doing this? And because I'm not a fan of serpents, generally speaking. And here I was, and he had revealed it in this big dramatic way and put it on me, right?
Yeah.
Now, all these other people had gotten dinner, and because they had paid big bucks to do this. Now, I had not gotten dinner at all. I had to pop in and give clues and this and that. Now, in the meantime, I'd gone back to the 12th House bookstore, right, and hung out, right? But then I'd mm-hmm. gone back. And so it was a very hectic night for me. And I got nothing out of it other than this, at the end, having this gigantic serpent.
Snake, yeah.
Yeah, snake, who weighed, by the way, oh, I think probably about 80, 90 pounds.
My God.
And this thing, and he insisted I do it with my hair down, because remember, I used to have very long
yes.
hair.
Yes.
And he wanted me to look like some sort of, I don't know what he was thinking. But, and so I had my shirt off, and this big snake, and it was solid muscle. And the snake was very strong, and I was very nervous because I wasn't fond of it anyway. And it's strong, and people are staring at me and staring at the snake, and the snake begins to move, and it begins moving toward me, and it's wrapped around me. And I was afraid it was going to constrict me, but it wasn't doing that. And it's getting closer and closer, and its head is getting closer to my chest.
Mm-hmm.
And it's getting closer and closer to my chest, and its head is getting toward my breast, and it begins flicking its tongue against my nipple.
Mm-hmm.
And it's totally uncomfortable. This is a little off taste, but it's flicking my nipple, and I can't move its head away. And I'm realizing that it might bite me, but it's just flicking my nipple. Later on, and people are laughing now. And
oh my God.
I'm absolutely sweating bullets because I can't, the thing is solid muscle. And after the show, after the big climax of this production, I'm absolutely furious because I feel like an idiot. He told me, oh yeah, I used to belong to a stripper before I got it. And that was her big deal. The life of Mo.
Oh, yes.
And he said, would you do this again in a couple of weeks? I said,
no.
No, I will not. But thank you for asking. And have a lovely parting gift, which I did not actually give in. But it was like, so there you go. You're the snake. So that's my experience with one of my experiences with the serpent.
Mm-hmm.
But Anyway, where was I? The Ophic thing. So in
the hermit
is following that snake, which represents his spiritual imperative. It actually represents alchemy. It represents a lot of things. So the point is, he is following his path and carrying a lamp toward the ground here. So what is happening is he's not guiding you, not by any stretch of the imagination. He is compulsively following his path alone. And if you follow him, then that's up to you. So therein lies this really incredible theory of what true spirituality is. And with St. Anthony, it's the same. He simply leaves. He leaves to do his own thing. And people follow him. And as a matter of fact, he's kind of disgusted by it. He goes to a cave, and he goes to the cave, and he builds a wall, basically saying, leave me alone. And people throw food over the wall and that sort of thing, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's not that we should build walls, but we are supposed to kind of do our own thing this year and not be bothered by the world around us. Essentially, by doing our thing, we will find that others find their thing in turn.
Right, because that can be the modeling or the mentoring in itself, is saying, find your way to flower through the boulder. Find your spiritual path.
Yeah.
That is, to me, the message. I mean, it's also just that pulling away, simplifying, you know, letting it go so that you can hear your own voice, so that you can see your own stars, so that you just get regrounded, you know, and then you can come back. What?
You're the Mo Whisperer.
I really like that. I kind of doubt it, but I like it.
No, that's pretty good, CA. Yeah, I mean, that's the whole point. That I once did a meditation on that card, on the hermit card from that deck, and I found myself. Do you know how to do those with tarot cards?
What do you mean, do meditations?
The classic so-called occult way to.
I don't use that term.
What you're supposed to do is sit down and stare at the card for a while. Until it's kind of ingrained in your retina.
Brain, let's say. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then you just look up at a wall, a blank wall, and you can see the reverse image of the card, right?
Uh-huh.
And then you see it, and then you close your eyes, and then you walk into the card. That's the point.
Mm.
And then you just walk into the card and you wait until something happens. And I used to do that quite a bit back when I was a whippersnapper. And I did a lot of crazy things back in those days. And I was just waiting, thinking, well, what's going on? I found that I was standing on a gravel road, a very thin gravel path. And next to me was a ledge. I was standing on a kind of a ledge. Next to me was the face of a mountain. And I looked up and it was dark, very, very dark. And on the other side was an abyss almost. It was just very far down. And there was a sky with stars that I did not recognize. And I thought, well, I'm waiting for the hermit, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was very excited. This is cool. I'm going to have a very nice time here and get to follow the hermit. And suddenly there was this brilliant light I could see coming around the corner of this path. And I got all excited. And I thought, the hermit, the hermit, the hermit. And this brilliant light blinded me. Just literally, I was just, oh my God, I can't see. And he walked right over me. I mean, it almost pushed me off the ledge. And I thought it would be nice. I could talk to him, just walked right over me like a locomotive train almost, and almost pushed me off the ledge, went right over me, and off he was. He was gone. And I'm just crushed, almost literally, lying on this path, and he's gone. And I just, what was that? What was that supposed to be? Well, that was the lesson. That was the message of that particular meditation. And it took me a while to kind of get it. But the point was, is that the hermit is not there to teach you. The hermit is not there to guide you. The hermit's on his own path, and if you can't keep up, it's over. And mm-hmm. I really liked that one. That was mm-hmm. really worthwhile for me. You've got to be able to keep up or you're going to miss it. So it's kind of fascinating how if you do those meditations with the cards, and that's all the cards, every single card, you know, mm-hmm. From the Two of Swords on, you can really, and I did that through the deck many, many times. And each time it was a different lesson. And then when you're reading the cards, those lessons come back to you. Mm-hmm. The one you need right. for the moment. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And like some of the messages that have been coming through this week for me and through modes of things that I've already read, but I'm rereading them. And all of a sudden I'll go, oh, you know, I kind of get that. And part of that message is as long as you think you know, as long as you think you understand that your mind has all these incredible thoughts, you know nothing.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And I know that just sounds so, in some ways that sounds so airy-fairy, but if you think about it on a really concrete level, when something is full, you can't put anything else in it. And as yeah. long as you believe that you know, then where's the space for understanding?
There you go.
That's really good. You know, and so there again, just even throughout the day, just going, yeah, these thoughts that I think are so important, or I think my mind is so clever and just coming up with all this stuff. It's like, no, just, you know, can you even sit for a minute and imagine your mind just being totally blank?
Yeah.
You know, can you do that? And so, yeah, I feel like once you're open, or there again, like I said, I think of things as touchstones, like the hermit is a touchstone. So, you know, if I just think about the hermit, like what is the image that comes to me? Is it the lantern? Is it the aloneness? Is it the simplicity? What is it? But you're not going to find wisdom by thinking you already found it.
That's like, or,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, that's like after studying the Crowley deck for 45 years, which I did, and cracking so many of his codes and realizing what it was about as far as the numerology and as far as, you know, finding the beast in every card and all of that that I did. And I did this lecture at a Tarot conference and all of that. And when I finally did all that, I said, you know what? Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Who cares? And I realized how unimportant it was. And I just said, okay, that's done. Now what? You know, I really did. It was like, I've done that. It's over. It's finished.
Yes.
And that was... It was such a huge letdown. I mean, you do something for that long and you say, okay, I've done that. That's it. It's over. It's finished. It's no big deal. And it wasn't a big deal. It was 45 years of my life. Mm-hmm. Now, it led me to study unbelievable stuff that I would never have studied otherwise. And I believe that that was the purpose of it, was mm-hmm. to study the things that I've studied over, you know, the like you said, I've studied all this stuff, and it was because of that one deck, you know, and that wretched book that he wrote, the Book of Thoughts.
Yeah.
You know? But... And it was worthwhile because it's been a wonderful journey, and it led me to create my tarot deck, mm-hmm. Which is like a doctoral thesis, you know, is what it is. Right. In the Golden Dawn, you had to do that to be ranked, you know, whatever they ranked, the top ranking there. But I'm not in the Golden Dawn. I did it just because I was obsessed with it. And then I realized something. So what? It doesn't mean a thing. And that was a relief. I didn't have to prove anything. I didn't have to, you know, it was kind of nice. It's like saying, I don't know anything now.
Right.
And I know what you mean. It's just such a great feeling.
Yeah. Well, and I had an interesting thing happen, and I can't remember if I mentioned this on radio or not. Please forgive me, people, if I said this last week, but the whole idea of seeking, you know, kind of plays into this. And I ordinarily think of that as a very positive thing, seeking the truth, seeking this out, finding this, you know. But once again, it's a very active, I don't have it, so I've got to find it, right? Well, what happened is I ran across this deck of cards that were online, and they were called archetypes, but they were for children. And I like to find things for a couple of my nieces and nephews who, you know, that I don't have a lot of contact with. And, you know, so I stay in contact with them by, you know, sending them little things, you know, it's just a little connection. So I find this deck called Dream Big Archetypes for Kids. But I thought, you know, but before I send this one I want to look at, because this is not just an ordinary deck, and I want to make sure it's not something really off the wall. And their parents go, thanks a lot, CA, because I kind of saw it as they could choose a card a day, because, you know, when I'm with them, we talk about these kind of things. So I get this deck, but I open it up and I flip through them, and I think, yeah, most of this stuff is positive, because, you know, it's about, you know, being yourself or finding yourself or whatever. You know, it's typical kind of archetypal positive images. And I can imagine that if the kids pulled a card a day, that could be inspiring to them. But in any case, I've just shuffled the deck a little bit to look at the cards, and I put it back in the box. And my dog Tucker is in my office, and I can hear him playing with something, but the noise is unusual. And so that was my first clue, you know, what does he have? So I turn around and I'm like, what have you got? What have you got? And he's just like whipping this thing around, and I go over there, and believe it or not, he has one of the cards.
Yeah.
And he's chewing it up. You know? And the weird thing, Mo, is I do not even know how I dropped that card. I was totally unaware that that had dropped on the floor. That's the only way he got it. I mean, he's a little dog. You know, he didn't reach up on the deck, you know, on the desk and grab it. I had somehow, it had slipped and I didn't notice. So I'm like, oh, great. You know, now that card is missing, or I'll need to buy another deck or whatever. But I look at it, and you know what it is? The Seeker. It's the Seeker.
Wow.
And I almost started laughing, because that's exactly kind of what had been going through my mind in the days before that. And I thought, so here's the Seeker, and now it's all chewed up.
Yeah.
And I tried to patch it up with tape and the whole thing. And I thought, okay, is it even worth putting it back in the deck? Do I give him the deck and not have that card? Whatever. But I thought, you know, Mark always accuses me, you know, oh, you always find messages and everything. And it's like, but that was a message. You know?
You bet.
Now the Seeker is no longer in that deck. And
right.
I just, like I said, I laughed, because it's like, yeah, you always think you can find and go out and get what you need, when in truth, what you need or what is there is probably already inside you. And you need to quit trying so hard. You need to quit being the Seeker and just allow whatever's going to happen. You know,
it's a constant state of growth, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Yeah, my dog, she tears everything up. She's just puppy, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, she's not even a year old, right?
Oh, no, she's 9 months.
No,
and
yeah.
Belligerent and, oh, my God, you know, just, Dad, I want you to look at me as I destroy this, because I'm telling you I'm going to destroy it. You know, she does. It's just unbelievable. But I love her completely. What a doll. You know, she's big.
Yeah. Yes, I bet she is. Well, and I'm lucky, because Tucker was actually a year old when I got him. So he destroys very few things. I mean, he has toys that he just whips around like unbelievably. But that's it. As long as he's got a toy, you know, he throws them in the air and he throws them across the floor, and then he grabs them and shakes them as hard as he can. But for the most part, I don't have to worry about him grabbing something and destroying it. And that's why when I could hear that sound behind me and it was foreign, I was like, okay, that's different. That's, and he was slapping the card, you know, on the floor.
Yeah.
And, but anyway, yes, he was my little omen or my little messenger that day for sure.
Yeah. I don't wear rings. I don't have a mala. I haven't touched a mala in months. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. They'll mellow, because Trudy was so mellow.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't tear anything up. I could leave my stuff out. She didn't touch it. No, nothing.
Yep.
Nothing. The eye pencil that went with the pad chewed up.
Just
unbelievable. But very much. The seeker, you know, and that's the problem. I think that we are natural seekers. We want to learn. We want to know more. We want to constantly grow. And that's one of the most amazing things. I have been obsessed with rim blown flutes. Well, since I was a kid, and they're difficult to play because they don't have a fipple. Do you know what a fipple is?
Mm-mm.
A fipple flute is like a recorder. You know, you blow into the end and it makes a sound. Uh-huh. But a rim-blown flute does not have a fipple. So you have to make it sound. And there are transverse flutes, which are like the flutes that people use in an orchestra. Mm-hmm. So you have to make the embouchure and you blow across a hole, right?
Right. Uh-huh.
But a rim-blown flute is just a tube. And I got what's known as a ney, N-E-Y, in Egypt when I was 18 years old. And I wanted one because I saw that on tomb walls 5,000 years ago, they had these reeds, marsh reeds that they blew into, and they still use them in orchestras in the Middle East today. And so I got one, and I actually just literally threw it away about 20 years ago because it had cracked in moving and the dryness and all that. And I never could figure out how to play it because we didn't have the internet yet, you know, and that sort of thing. And it wouldn't have worked anyway because it was destroyed. But you seek constantly. And I have just recently figured out how to play these things. So like 52 years it's been constantly trying to figure out how to play this thing. And that's one of the things that maybe separates people like us from other people, is that we just don't ever give up. You know?
Right.
We just,
that's true.
Yeah, it is true. When you talk about astrology, we never stop learning. We do it, but we're always working on technique. We're always working on making it better. We never stop practicing. So I make flutes out of PVC, safe PVC, you know, that won't kill you when you play these things. Although my wife would probably like to kill me because I practice these things, you know, and they don't always sound great. But I finally have figured out how to make it sound, because for most of my time, it's been horrible sounds. I actually got an Anasazi flute, as they're known, made out of wood, and did something on my show once. And it was really kind of cacophonous, and put it on anyway, because you do what you can, you know, those who can't teach. But that's not true. Those teachers are amazing people. I just couldn't do it, but they put it on the show anyway. And it's just, but now I can do this. And there is this sense of you keep going, you just keep going. And that's the hermit way, too. You keep going. You may reach the mountaintop, but then you go down the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you make the sound, then you have to start learning songs. Then you have to, you don't just learn one song, you learn more than one, and then you learn another one, and then you learn different techniques, and then you have to learn vibrato, and then you have to do this, and then you have to do that, and then you're still not satisfied. You want to get a better tone, and then you want to, and it's never enough, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you want to do circular. I mean, I play the didgeridoo, and you want to make sure that you can do it properly, and you want to do circular breathing, and you want to do dog barking and cows mooing while you're doing it. And it's not because you're trying, it's not competition. I communicated with a dragonfly while I was doing the didgeridoo once. That's a different story. It was one of the most amazing moments in my life, CA, to mm-hmm. communicate with an insect. And it's true. It's what happened. But mm-hmm. this is what we seek. This is who we are. And we're different than people who don't seek. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'll leave it.
And yet, there again, like I said, it's such a fine line. You know, yeah. The seeking, the never, the always continuing to move forward without the compulsion of being incomplete, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it. Yeah. But you know what? Go ahead.
We're out of time.
We got 2 minutes to wrap up. Especially with our producer, Serena. I mean, she's relatively new to the process. I don't want to make her anxious.
She's not used to us.
I don't want her going, when are they ever going to stop talking? So do you have some announcements or anything else you would like to leave us with, either about 2025 or about anything that you're doing right now? Go ahead.
Don't freak out, people. Don't freak out.
Yeah.
Just sit back, do your own thing, and be cool. All right?
Very good. All right. Well, Mo, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. And I want to thank everybody in the chat room as well. I'm sorry we didn't go over there, but I do see you. So thank you so much. I see Quali and Renee and, of course, James. Always thank you for being here. And Judith and Pamela. And, in fact, somebody was saying, and Kat Nicholson is there, too. Pamela was coming in late, but made it to juggling chainsaws. She probably wondered what the heck we were talking about. But in any case, everybody, thank you for being there today, and I hope you have a great day. And thanks to all the listeners who are also listening, and, of course, to Serena, who is our producer. And I'll put a plug in for Please Stay Tuned for Empowerment with Kelly Whetstone coming up next. I will be joining Kelly for our monthly meeting of the minds, so please stay tuned. And I'll close with what I call the quote of the week. Happiness is not in another place, but this place. Not for another hour, but this hour. And that's Walt Whitman, who had Saturn in Pisces, and which is one of the things, you know, we've got going on in the universe right now is Saturn in Pisces. And I just thought that was it. You know, it goes along with this idea of seeking also. Happiness is not in another place, but it's right here, right now. This is CA signing out. You have been listening to Everyday Astrology with my guest, Mo Abdelbaki on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way we're looking at the world.